It's great to be able to welcome Jim Hamilton this morning. Jim is our moderator at this time, and Jim will be speaking to us in a few moments. But first, Anne is going to come and bring our reading to us.
The reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 30. Some of the believers who were scattered by the persecution which took place when Stephen was killed went as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, telling the message to Jews only. But other believers, who were from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and proclaimed the message to Gentiles also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's power was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. The news about this reached the church in Jerusalem, so they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw how God had blessed the people, he was glad and urged them all to be faithful and true to the Lord with all their hearts. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he took him to Antioch, and for a whole year the two met with the people of the church and taught a large group. It was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. About that same time, some prophets went from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and, by the power of the Holy Spirit, predicted that a severe famine was about to come over all the earth. It came when Claudius was emperor. The disciples decided that they would each send as much as they could to help their fellow believers who lived in Judea. They did this then and sent the money to the church elders by Barnabas and Saul. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Happy New Year to you. I hear you had some great services at over Christmas, and we're now into January. And saying earlier on, I had a colleague once who said, every January is the month when everybody wants to resign. I don't know whether that's true or not. Hopefully not here at Central Baptist. I want to ask you a hypothetical question this morning. You might think it's a bit of a weird question, but it's this. If you had lived in New Testament times, which church would you like to have joined? If you were a Christian in Bible times, New Testament times, which of the churches would you like to have joined? I was thinking about that. Would I like to have joined the church at Rome? I think it might have been a bit dangerous there. And what about the church at Corinth? Well, there was a lot of kind of shady stuff going on there. It was a bit corrupt at times. What about the church at Laodicea? No, it was lukewarm, half-hearted. What about the church at Philippi? Now, it was a good church, but they had women there. And two of them in particular fell out and were arguing, and you know, you can't really cope with that. So what church would I have joined? And then I realized that there is one, to quote Tina Turner — you don't often have a Tina Turner quote at Central Baptist Church, do you? — that was simply the best. And it's the church that we read about a few minutes ago from Acts chapter 11. I think this was probably the best church in the New Testament. And I want to share with you for a few minutes why I think it was the best, and how maybe Central Baptist Church could learn some things from it to see whether you're simply the best, as I'm sure you probably are. So here's some things about the church at Antioch that made it simply the best. First of all, it was a church with love at its center. How do we know? Well, we read in verse 23 of Acts 11 that the church's reputation had spread, news had got back to Jerusalem because it was not just the Jews, but the Gentiles who were being brought to faith. And the leaders there in Jerusalem decided to send Barnabas to Antioch to see what was happening at first hand. Now, more about Barnabas in a moment, but I want you to notice what it says. In the NIV translation, it says this: he saw the evidence of the grace of God. He saw the evidence of the grace of God. Now, what does that mean? How do you see evidence of the grace of God? Isn't the grace of God something you feel, or you experience, or you hear about? What do you see when you see the evidence of the grace of God? Well, what is the grace of God? It's God's love, isn't it? Given to us, undeserving, given freely, and received by all who know Jesus. So what Barnabas must have seen in this church at Antioch was this: listen, people who knew they were loved by God, and so they truly, genuinely, really loved one another. He saw a church with love at its very center, the evidence for the grace of God, the love of God in the place. So in that church, there was no infighting, there was no jealousy, there was no gossiping, there was no backbiting, just a church with love at its center. If Barnabas came to Central Baptist Church, would he see the evidence for the grace of God? Because you are a church with love at the center. Rick Warren, who wrote The Purpose-Driven Church, said this: love draws people like a powerful magnet. A lack of love drives people away. Are you a church with love at the center? The church that was simply the best was a church with love at its center. Secondly, it was a church with an emphasis on encouragement. We see this also in verse 23. If my favorite church in the New Testament is the church at Antioch, my favorite character in the New Testament, apart from Jesus, of course, has to be Barnabas. Why? Because whatever you read of him, he's always doing the same thing. He's always encouraging. In fact, they gave him a nickname. They called him the son of encouragement. And in verse 23, it says that Barnabas encouraged them all. If there's one thing that I've discovered in my years of ministry, my 11 years in Scotland, 29 years in Shrewsbury, and now a year and a half in little village of Ramsden Bellhouse, it's the value of encouragement. I've been so blessed over the years by some people who just always had the knack of knowing when I needed encouragement. So an email or a card or a phone call or even just a smile or a handshake or a hug would tell me I was being encouraged. There was even some people who, if I found myself struggling when I was preaching and I felt this isn't really very good, I would look at and I would see them smiling and nodding and having that expression that was, to me, saying, well, this might be rubbish, but go for it. Sometimes I would look at them and they would be asleep, but that's another story. But I discovered also something else. As I thanked God for those people, I discovered that our people were more likely to respond and get involved and go the extra mile and step out in faith if they were encouraged rather than rebuked. And it's easy sometimes and tempting from the pulpit to have a go. And of course, sometimes you need to be challenged. But a challenge without encouragement is likely to land on deaf ears. I wonder, can I ask you, what about Central Baptist Church? Is there an emphasis on encouragement here? Do you encourage one another? Are you encouraging one another? Tell you this, the presence of encouragement doesn't guarantee growth in a church, but the absence of encouragement will guarantee decline. The church that was simply the best was a church with an emphasis on encouragement. Thirdly, it was a church with an enthusiasm for God. When we were in Scotland in the early days of my ministry there, there was a lovely family in the church with three young boys, the youngest of whom was about 4 years old at this particular time. And one day, apparently, at their Sunday lunch, they had been talking about the service, and suddenly this youngest boy, Russell, said to his parents, "What is it that Susie's got?" And they all looked at him puzzled and said, "What do you mean?" And the boy asked the question again, "What is it that Susie's got?" And they still looked puzzled. The little boy said, "Well, you know, at church this morning, what Jim, the minister, said." And they said, "Okay, Russell, what did Jim say in the service?" "He said, Susie has him." "So what is it that Susie's got?" "Susie has him." In Central Baptist Church, is there Susie has him? Again, in verse 23, Barnabas encouraged them to be true to the Lord with all their hearts. A church full of enthusiasts. I wonder if that's what Central Baptist Church is like. Are you enthusiasts for God? I think there's nothing more discouraging for a minister, and especially perhaps for a new minister, who comes full of enthusiasm to find people who are cool and apathetic in their relationship with God and in their service for Jesus. Hopefully in this new year, a new minister might come to Central Baptist. Will he find a congregation, a church family of enthusiasts for God? Someone once said, if 1/10 of what you believe is true, you ought to be 10 times as excited as you are. If 1/10 of what you believe is true, you ought to be 10 times as excited as you are. Do you have an enthusiasm for God this morning? Enthusiasm for God. Enthusiasm. Fourthly, this church that was simply the best at Antioch was a church with a passion for mission. We see it in verse 24 as it says that a great number of people were brought to the Lord. It didn't just happen when Barnabas came. It was already happening as we read in verse 21. And I believe, I may have said this to you before, but I say it to you again this morning, I believe we're living in exciting and challenging times for the Church of Jesus. It's been interesting for me since I retired to visit and preach in probably around a dozen Baptist churches around the South End area. One of the things that I've discovered is that fewer and fewer of these churches, even the larger churches, now have more than one service on a Sunday, many of them just a morning service. And that may be a good thing or it may be a bad thing. I've also discovered that an increasing number of our churches are engaged in social action, reaching into the community and meeting social needs. And that is a good thing, and it's so important because for so many years, evangelical churches, including Baptists, were so concerned and inward-looking with themselves that they were making no impact out there. But I have this little nagging fear. It is that we can become so involved in meeting material and social needs in our community and beyond that we ignore the command of Jesus, which is to go and make disciples. And that is a priority. A church that becomes like a branch of social services may do a lot of good, and it's to be welcomed. But if no one is coming to faith and becoming a disciple of Jesus, then we're missing out in our supreme calling. Antioch, I think, was the best church. And one of the reasons was it was continually growing with people becoming disciples, people turning to faith in Jesus. And I wonder if that's a challenge for you here as Central Baptist, especially as these flats and houses around you become occupied? Are you committed to bringing people to faith in Jesus as well as meeting their material needs? Fifthly, it was a church, the church at Antioch, that was simply the best. It was a church with a welcoming attitude. We go back to Barnabas again, and we see this in verses 25 and 26. Barnabas obviously thought that Antioch was a safe place, and so he goes to Tarsus and fetches Saul, who later, of course, became known as Paul. And he brings him to the church at Antioch. Now, Saul, at this time, was a man with a reputation. He had been one of the great enemies of the early church. His very name struck fear into the hearts of those early Christians. He had blood on his hands. So how do you react when he walks into your service? And notice that not only is he welcomed, but he's soon allowed to take a responsible role in teaching the people. And I want to ask you a kind of delicate question this morning. Is there anyone you don't want to see walking through the door of the church here? A few years ago, we had a Boys and Girls Brigade church service, parade service at Shrewsbury Baptist, where I was. And before the service, one of our BB officers dressed up as a tramp. He was totally, hadn't shaved for a week. He was dirty. He was unrecognizable to anyone who didn't know it was him. Before the service, he sat out on the wall outside the church as the people arrived. No one spoke to him. Just after the service started, he came in. He sat on his own and pretended to fall asleep, snoring loudly. There were a few tuts and whispers around the building. Suddenly, he got up and he walked onto the platform towards the person leading the service. And there were gasps. And some of the stewards, got up and made to go and take him away. But suddenly, as they approached, he took off his coat and his hat, and the people recognized who he was. And the church learned a lesson that day. How welcoming is Central Baptist Church? A survey done some years ago revealed this powerful result. Most people who enter a church for the first time decide within the first 10 minutes whether they'll come back. So before the preacher preaches, the decision is made. The welcome is so important. Number six, it was a church, the church at Antioch, that was simply the best, a church with a powerful impact. You're having a quiz in a few weeks' time. Here's a quiz question for you. How many times does the word Christian appear in the Bible? The answer is three. Okay? Three times, just three times. And one of them is in this passage. Just to satisfy your curiosity, the other two times is when King Agrippa says, "Almost you persuade me to become a Christian." The other time is in 1 Peter, where it says, "If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed." And the third time is here, in this passage, where the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Now, please notice this. They were called Christians. It was a name they were given by people in the town. It wasn't a name they gave themselves. Have you ever had this said to you? You call yourself a Christian. Devastating, isn't it? It's awful. But at Antioch, these believers in Jesus didn't have to call themselves Christians. Such was their witness and impact that the people of the town gave them the name. Their honesty, their integrity, their care, their support, their respect made the people of Antioch say, "We've got to get a name for these people." They're the ones with Christ in. We'll call them Christians. And notice this, most of them hadn't been Christians for very long. Many years ago, I was influenced by a book that I read called Your Church Can Grow. It was by a man called Peter Wagner, and he said something in it that I've never forgotten, and you might find it controversial. This is what he said. He said, the most effective witnesses for Jesus are those who've been Christians for less than 2 years. And what he meant was that new Christians still have so many contacts who are outside the church, and these people see the difference in their lives and begin to ask questions. As time goes on, we tend to enter into a circle of friends and colleagues within the fellowship of the church, and we lose that contact with those outside. And so the first 2 years are the most effective. Now, that's a big generalization, and it's probably not true for everybody. But if you're a new Christian, a relatively new Christian this morning, I want to encourage you, you can be really, really effective, more effective than some of us who've been Christians for a long time. But what's our witness like? What impact are we making? Do other people recognize you as a Christian? Number seven, there's only two more to go, you'll be glad to hear. Number seven, this church that was simply the best church at Antioch was a church with an openness and responsiveness to the Holy Spirit. We see this in verses 27 and 28. They listened to a prophecy in the power of the Holy Spirit by a man called Agabus, and they responded accordingly. I wonder this morning, are you, as Central Baptist Church, genuinely committed to, open to, and responsive to the person and work of the Holy Spirit? Someone has said that in the average church, if the Holy Spirit were to withdraw, 90% of the activities of that church would go unchanged. How open are you to the person and work of the Holy Spirit? I can't remember where I read these words, but I think they're so true. We need to stop arguing about the Holy Spirit. We need to stop being afraid of the Holy Spirit. We need to live by the Holy Spirit under the authority of the Word. It is not a recipe for chaos or excess or emotionalism. It is a recipe for freedom, power, and demonstration of the reality of God and the presence of Christ. I would appeal to you in this new year of 2015, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to be who He is and be open to what He says. And then lastly, this church that was simply the best, the church at Antioch, was a church with a generous heart. In verses 29 and 30, we read that when they heard of the need the prophet spoke about, they responded generously and they sent a gift to help meet that need. In other words, their newfound faith affected their pockets. Unlike some other cultures, in our culture, it's not really the done thing to talk too much about money and giving. But the fact is that whenever people are listening to God, they respond by giving. It was David Watson, one of the pioneers of the charismatic movement, in his book about that was called I Believe in the Church, who said this: the problem the church has is not in raising money, but in getting people to release money that is already there. The Bible tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. And I'm sure you know the real translation of that word is hilarious. God loves hilarious givers. God wants His church to be full of people who, even in tough times, give generously with a smile on their faces. And the book of Malachi tells us that when we give in that way, God opens the windows of heaven and pours out an overflowing blessing. Wouldn't you like Central Baptist Church to experience an overflowing blessing and see the windows of heaven open? If so, then be a church that gives generously and hilariously. So here it is. The church I would love to have joined. Church at Antioch, the church that I think was simply the best. But here's the thing. Any church can be like that. These are not impossibilities. Central Baptist Church can be like that. Hopefully it is already like that. And if it is, it's a great church for a new minister to come to. And what a future is in store. Amen.